Okay, so Bafana, what is the connection between Christians and Israel?
Okay, first of all, Christianity, it's more of we call it the followers of Jesus, and yes. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Christ meaning the Messiah. So sometimes we, because of the Jewish part of, or the roots of it, because you must know that we worship or we pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Oh.
Right? And Jesus is the Messiah according to on our faith, as we believe that he's the okay. Messiah. But then some other people will actually say separate Judaism and Christianity, which is impossible. Why? Because the Messiah himself is the same guy who went to the Passovers. He went for the Shabbat. He kept the Shabbat. He kept all the Jewish traditions and culture.
Okay.
And the connection becomes then to say, where is the foundation of our faith? The foundation of it is Abraham. Abraham in the sense that out of his son came, out of him came Isaac. Isaac then Jacob, and then Jacob was Israel, and out of the nation of Israel came then Jesus. So then you cannot separate Jesus from Israel, and you cannot separate Christianity from Israel.
Right,
it's impossible.
So I've got a question. Okay, the first guy who actually took Christianity outside of the disciples.
Yes.
Right? The disciples were the guys that Jesus taught, right?
Yes.
But the first guy who took it outside of that was a guy by the name of Paul.
Yes, John Paul, yes.
Paul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who himself was actually Jewish.
Yes.
Right, and mm-hmm. he had a vision on the road to Damascus, I think.
What he was doing actually was persecuting Christians.
His name was Saul. His name was Saul.
Yes.
Saul of Tarsus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, is that right?
Very good, very good, John.
And then he has this profound vision on the road to Damascus.
Yes.
And he then converts to Christianity,
yes.
and he starts
a ministry of going out to the nations,
right.
And teaching people about
yes.
Christ and teaching yes. them about. But actually, if you get Paul, I love the part where in Romans 11, where they were trying to explain the Jewish part and how we can now be separated with the Jewish
yeah.
community. He was actually saying that to them belongs the promises, and we know that our God is a covenant keeping God. So as he said to Abraham, that I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. That will never be reversed. Whether even if the Messiah had to come, is what God has said, it shall come to pass. The Jewish community, in a sense, or the nation of Israel, at some point they had a covenant with God, and in many times in the Bible, there are moments where they went out into exile, they went into Egypt, they came back.
Yeah.
I always tell them that that's how Zionism actually started. It started with Moses, you know. They were in Egypt, they had to be saved, and Moses was the leader, and said, "Let's go back to home, let's go back home to our homeland." And that's how the whole, for me, is my view of Zionism. Going back to the land of your forefathers, the land of Jacob. And then it came with Nehemiah. They went to exile again. Nehemiah came back with them.
Yes.
And I think the last one was, I always say, it must be the last one, Theodor Herzl, the leader of the Zionist movement.
Right.
So as I always say that God has never departed, and he has never left the Jewish community. But then what has happened then, throughout the history of the church, there was a point where there was something called replacement theology, where Jews were believed to be the Christ killers, the cursed nations. They were killed by most people.
Well, that was an anti-Semitic.
That was very anti-Semitic.
Yeah,
and
that's an anti-Semitic.
But even today, you'd be surprised that there are still people who hold those views, that we, as the church, we are the new Israel. And we are the church of the new Israel, and the congregants are the new children of Israel. So that's why most people from way back churches don't want to identify with the existence of the current state of Israel, because the current state of Israel to us, the charismatic, or those who truly believe, is the sense that is a regathering of the exiles. As a king in the Bible said it, he said that there will be a time where there's a part where he says that I will regather you from all the nations where I've scattered you, and I'll bring you back to Zion, and your land shall yield fruit again. A desolate land shall yield fruit again. And look at Israel today, it's a fulfillment of that prophecy, because every single person you meet there is either from Russia, from America, from from Africa, from all over the world, and they're all meeting in this small, tiny space of land, which it is their homeland. Even though some people may have their own views, but every Christian community, we know that this is a fulfillment of prophecy, and some people may not like it, but have to live with it.
Do all Christian communities support Israel? And is there a Zionist bent on all... a Zionist support
yes.
for Israel through all Christian sects?
Okay, I'll put it to you this way.
I mean, obviously, a church like the ZCC, mm-hmm. right, the Zionist Christian Church.
Yeah.
I mean, they
don't have
Zionist. There, people.
Yeah. But for me, I would say it depends. Some is doctrines. You know, some churches, as I've said, as I talked about the replacement theology,
yeah.
some may end up having their own views. I mean, the only time I was in UCT, I was debating this other boy, and he said to me, Jesus was Palestinian. And I was like, wow, how is it possible? No, but I just laughed.
My mother was Palestinian. My grandmother.
No, what I'm trying to say, and I hear what you're saying.
She was born when it was still called Palestine.
When it was called, my point exactly, yeah. but the name Palestine was given to that region by the Romans after the destruction of the temple, but that's something for another day. But what I'm trying to say, it is that
Jesus was black. another conversation.
Yeah, actually, what I'm trying to say is that yes, there's a strong support from the Christian community when it comes to Israel. They see this as a way. I mean, like, we grew up in churches whereby we always said Jerusalem is our home. Jerusalem is the city of God. You know, many songs in African churches you'll find about Jerusalem and all that.
Yeah.
So there is that support. But then again, it's another small portion of Christians on the other corner, those who may have their own views, which sometimes may not identify with what we believe in. Because, I mean, like, as you know, there are so many churches in this world with our different doctrines.
Yeah.
But then in different sects, I would say probably 80% actually does or do support Israel.
There are so many different peoples from around the world who have a connection to Israel.
Yes, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Obviously, you know, we're talking Christians, Jews, Muslims.
Yes.
What, you know, as you were speaking, I just thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was peace and everybody could make their peace?
You know what?
You know what I mean?
I
this piece of real estate, which is so much more than a piece of real estate in the Middle East.
Yes.
Okay, so you think about that. We've got to take news headlines. Sasha's rolling her eyes at me saying, stop talking, woman. Anyhow, let's get back to our discussion.
Yeah.
I asked you, I can't even remember what I asked you.
The peace part.
Oh, about peace. About
yes.
peace. Would it not be, what do you think?
About, you know,
can you imagine if everybody who had an interest in Israel, for whatever reason, we could put our ideologies aside and we could just be there in peace? Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be great. It would be great. But you must know that, you know, with peace comes compromise. With peace comes not always, but there's got to be a will for it. You got to be willing to have peace.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, look at, like, South Africa, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We had a lot of racial, whatever, apartheid, as they call it. And even today, there's still some... 10% of some crowd there and there which still hold those racist views, but then above across board, there are people who are trying so hard to actually integrate and to live, you know, side by side,
sure.
and actually enjoy the share culture and share,
sure.
You get what I'm saying? But then it depends, because then there is a will, then therefore it's possible in South Africa. That's why people are saying South Africans are the most beautiful people in the world.
The best
people in the
and
world.
Gautengs are the best of the
Johannesburg, no, Jersey people. Yeah. But then when it comes to other nations where there's been war for years and years and years, sometimes then you have to worry then, is there a will for peace? Is there a will for both people to come to the table and actually start having a meaningful conversation for the best interest of their, rather say, constituents or followers? I kind of find it that even with this conflict that we in Israel today, I mean, it's been almost, what, 70 years, or even right way before 1948, you know, and is still going on today from generation to generation. And my question that I always worry, that I always ask myself is that, will it ever end? Will it ever stop?
And it has to.
It has to stop.
It has to. And I'll tell you how I know this.
Yeah.
Is that the last 2 years, it is, I think it's Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Once a year, they do a night to honor Israel.
Yes, yes, I was part of that.
So the first time, mm-hmm. my daughter was here visiting me, and her and I went.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a moment, and we both felt it, where amongst all the color and the singing and the dancing and the joyousness that you just felt, it was so palpable.
Mm.
But there was a moment where everything just became very quiet within us.
Yes, that peace.
It became very quiet inside us. And when I looked around, I actually saw how different nations with different theological traditions can worship the same God. And that's how I saw that it was possible. I do not have to adopt your beliefs, and you do not have to adopt my beliefs.
Yes.
For both of us to worship the creator of the universe in integrity.
Yes.
And I believe that that is true for Muslims as well.
Yes.
And I believe that that is true for the Baha'i and for the Hindus and for the Buddhists. Mm-hmm. I believe that is true for all of us.
Do it.
And we've just got to kind of get it into our thick skulls that it is a possibility.
Yeah.
That we cannot afford to have the arrogance to say to somebody else what you believe is wrong.
And what I believe is right.
Exactly.
Because usually diving, that's how the debate always gets to a point when you say that. I've met many people. You see, one thing about even the issue of Jerusalem,
yes.
you know, because I travel a lot sometimes and I do meet different people and they have different views about the Jerusalem thing and the Trump announcement. Some people, they feel entitled to that is their only city and nobody can have it. And also, there's also again, the other side who also feel the same way.
Or is it the same for God? You know, my God and nobody else can have it.
Yeah.
I hold the copyright on God.
You might want exactly, and we don't want to share. We don't want to say, you know what Jesus walked here for Christians, so let Christians come and enjoy. Muhammad was here, so let the Muslims come and worship here. The forefathers of Israel lived and built this city of Jerusalem, so let the Jews also enjoy themselves and enjoy their faith here,
yeah.
right? And let there be peace. But then because we also then, in between these religions, we also hold some sense. I don't know how to call it, but some views about one another that you might be wrong and I'm right.
I think
you
might be wrong.
I think those, you need to drop them very quick.
Drop them quick.
Very quick, you know, like a hot potato.
I mean, the truth is that when you are truly secure and you are happy in your own belief,
yes,
you want to support people. And I'm speaking to the Jewish community here.
Yes.
You know, I grew up believing that the Jews were this chosen special race. Well, what were we chosen for?
To be the light of the world.
The light unto the nations, to lead by example. But leadership, true leadership, is when you serve the world,
mm-hmm.
not having
the world save you.
The world serve you. And, you know, it's very much when one looks at a human king,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of his
subjects.
All of his subjects serve him. Mm-hmm. But with God, when you make God your king, God serves you because you will never lack for anything.
True that. And you are right.
And we need to change our thinking around who we are as a Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were put on this earth to serve humanity, not to have humanity serve us.
Whew, that's good, Kitty. That's good.
Thanks.
But you know, but I guess you are right. I mean, like the humble, I think the humble part of things, you know, I always look at it this way, and this is just my view, to say that when you are a leader, for an example, or you, as you said, a king of some sort, if you don't give any recognition to the high power that you are not the absolute power, but you are also just a mere man, you know, even though, yes, you've been entrusted with this power to rule and to guide,
mm-hmm.
but you are also just a normal human being. You are not immortal or anything, you know. I think sometimes when you idolize ourselves, We idolize ourselves and we think that we are the best and we have it all figured out. That's when the thought of God escapes our minds and our thoughts, our minds and hearts, because now you think that, you know what, I don't need this God. I know everything. I know I can do anything on my own. I'm in charge. I run the whole country. I run the whole village. I'm in charge. But then, as I said to you, coming back to the Christian part of things, I believe that the Christian connection and the Jewish connection should be kept alive, and mainly for the
reason that it always will be.
It will always be, but it should be always be kept alive.
And the same with the Muslim connection.
Yes,
you know, we just got to deal with. I don't know, anyone from any religion who's mixed up and into killing people who don't believe what they believe.
Yeah. Okay. But I think it's
that we got to sort out.
It's very...
We've got to talk to them. You on one side, you on the other.
I think again, you know, it's extremist. I mean, okay. Okay? But then if you look at the Crusades, they were Christians, right?
Yes.
But they were killing people because they believed that if you don't believe in the Messiah or don't believe that Jesus is God, then you're going to die or something.
Well, that was more about economics also. Social issues and all that.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
it's kind of an excuse.
I do hear what you say, but it was more of an excuse. But then I kind of feel like we'll find those extremists in different religions. Those who believe that, no matter we, as the Christians, we are holy and clean, and those other Christians, we don't really identify with the way how they do things, you know. Probably the same thing with the Jewish community at some point. You have the Orthodox and you have the Reform.
Although they don't kill each other.
Yeah, they don't kill each other.
We're going to have to get you back. We've got to cross to Rolene Marks for our Israel report.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get you back because you're absolutely fascinating and I can listen to your voice the whole day.
Oh, thank you.
You've got this rich timbre. Absolutely awesome.